Welcome to the Management Pack Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Renn. I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled Monitoring Scripts. In previous lessons, we've gone over a variety of different monitors, but we haven't talked about using scripts to perform monitoring. And this is typically our strategy when we don't have another data source that will access the data we need. We can run a script on a time basis that accesses data from just about any other source, and we can perform any of the complex operations that we can do in a script. So essentially, our options almost become unlimited. Now, in this lesson, we're only going to go over the scripts themselves. We're not going to actually use them in a management pack yet, because for that, we're going to have to back up and learn some of the more advanced topics on modules and workflows. We'll do that in the next lesson, and then in the lesson following that one, we'll put it all together and create some different monitoring scenarios based on the scripts that we work on here. Now, before we get into the actual script itself, we need to learn about property bags. Monitoring scripts in a management pack return their data in a property bag. A property bag is simply a set of name-value pairs. The script has no idea whether this information is good or bad or what to do with it. That's what the other modules in the workflow will do, and we'll see that in the next lesson. The job of the script is really just to output, to gather, and then to output all of the interesting data that the workflow might need to work with. Let's illustrate this with an introduction to the script that we're going to build in a few minutes. We have a monitor here targeted at our central processor class. It runs a script that collects different pieces of information from the store queues. We pass a parameter to that script called queues path, and that's the folder path to where all the queues are stored, which is information the script is going to need to run. Now, when the script runs, it gathers up different pieces of data that we need. In this case, we have things like the total number of files in all the queues, the oldest file, and the total size. Now you see the monitor itself only cares about the queue length, which is that file count. But the script can actually gather up multiple pieces of data, send that out, and then the workflow will decide which one it's interested in. Another workflow might use the exact same script and select another piece of data. Now the script packages up those pieces of data into a property bag, and then it passes it on down the workflow. Now the next module in our little sample workflow here is a condition detection. We'll learn all about those in the next lesson. The condition detection is what defines which property we're interested in and what criteria we're going to use. In this case, we're going to set an error state if the file count property is greater than 50. So again, this really reinforces the fact that the job of a monitoring script is not to determine whether a threshold has been exceeded, whether we have an error condition, or anything like that. It gathers up the information, in this case, the file count, and then we have other decisions within the workflow that compare that value to a threshold to determine whether it's good or bad. And that's something that we'll obviously build on as we move forward into the next lessons. So here's the basic structure of a monitoring script. You should notice that this is much simpler than the discovery scripts that we saw a while ago. Now what I'm showing here is PowerShell, and that's the only language that we're going to use in this and in other lessons. We can absolutely use VBScript, and we have plenty of documentation and availables on doing VBScript, and we have plenty of documentation and samples available for doing that. The reality, though, is that we just don't see that used as much anymore compared to PowerShell, and so that's what we're going to focus on. The concepts between the two are mostly the same, so if you do need to do some VBScript, you should absolutely be able to do that with the documentation that we have available and follow the exact same concepts that we're introducing here. Now we start a monitoring script with exactly the same line in the discovering scripts where we create that API object. But then instead of discovery data, we create a property bag. Now once we have the property bag, we can add values to it. Now here's the basic structure of a monitoring script. You should notice this is much simpler than the discovery scripts we saw a while ago. Now what I'm showing here is PowerShell, and that's the only language we're going to work with in this and other lessons. We can absolutely use VBScript, and we have plenty of documentation and samples available on that. The reality, though, is we just don't see that used much anymore compared to PowerShell. But the concepts are mostly the same, so if you want to use VBScript, you should be able to do that with the documentation we have out there. Now we start the script with exactly the same line in discovery scripts where we create the API object. But then instead of discovery data, we create our property bag. Now once we have the property bag created, we can add values to it. Obviously in a real script, we'd have a lot of other code that was actually gathering data to go into those property bag values. All I'm showing here are just those lines where we actually add the values to it. And you can see for each value, we give it the value and we give the value a name, which is what we'll be able to refer to it in other modules in the workflow. Now, once we have the property bag created and with its values added to it, then we return it by adding to the script's output. And that's really the entire thing. That's the whole script. And as you'll see, again, these are much easier discovery scripts. And you'll find in the real scripts you're going to write, the bulk of the script is just going to be specific to your application and doing exactly the functionality that you need. And then there will actually just be that little bit that you need to add in order to return the data that we need it for the workflow. So now what we want to do is write a monitoring script for our sample application. We should be able to drive all these concepts home. Now this one we're going to write is meant to run against our central processor class, and it'll collect statistics for all of the queues. Now specifically, we want to get the number of files and the oldest file for all of the queue folders. Basically, we're simulating collecting the number of entries in the queues. Now we'll be able to write the script and test it on a command line, but we aren't going to put it in a management pack yet. As I mentioned, in the next lesson, we'll back up, we'll talk about modules and workflows, and then in the lesson after that, we'll take the script that we're about to build here, and then we'll use that in monitors and rules. Okay, so if you remember back when we did our discoveries, we created this central processor class, it hosted our queue class, and we had a property that we collected on central processor that was the folder location of where our queues were stored. And so this is that folder location, our test environment, and I have a folder for each of the queues, and that's what we're in our queue discovery. And so what I've done now is underneath each one, I've just created a bunch of text files. Basically, I just said new text document and then copied it a whole bunch of times. We don't care what's in the files. We just want to be able to collect how many there are. Okay, so just a quick and dirty way to do this queue simulation. Each of these represents an entry in the queue. So again, just simple way to simulate this for our test application. So I'm going to go ahead and put the script in my management pack project. We're not going to use it in any workflows yet, but we might as well build it here, and that way it'll be available to us in a couple of lessons when we build some modules and workflows around it. So I'm going to do add new item, PowerShell script file, and I'm going to call this all queues stats. Just a little bit of a precursor later on, in a few lessons from now, we're going to create this for individual queues. That'll be when we illustrate cookdown and that sort of thing. That's why I'm using the term all queues here, but we'll worry about that later on. So what I'm going to do, and typically when I suggest people the basic process of writing a script for monitoring, is first, don't worry about property bags or anything Ops Manager specific. Just write the script to collect up the data that you need, and without any regards to API object and that sort of thing. So that's exactly what I'm going to do now. And to save you from a whole bunch of typos, I'm basically just going to do a copy-paste from an existing version of the script here, but certainly I'll talk through each section here as I put it in. So first off, we're going to accept a parameter, which is the queues path, and we'll pass that in. That's the path that I just showed you, so the script knows where is the top-level folder where we're going to get this from. Now, obviously, when this finds its way into a monitor, we're going to take the property off of that central processor and then pass that in using a target variable. All right, so with that in place, the next few lines I'm going to paste in here. What this is just simple PowerShell that says go out and for this path, collect up all the child items, in other words, all the files within it. Where PS's container equals false, this says where it's not a folder, basically all the child items that are files. And then the recurse says continue down each of the subfolders. So essentially what this does, it says get all of the files underneath this path. Now just in case there are none, this is going to return a null. And so we need a little if here that says if it's not null, then take the number of files that we've returned and assign it to this variable called count. And if it is null, then just we're going to assume the count is zero. Okay, so this is actually a simple little working script that gets one of the pieces of data that we want. So what I'm going to do then is return this count variable. Okay, just a quick test to make sure, okay, with it, that this part of the script is working. Okay, so here I am in the Ops Manager shell, and this is what we want to use as opposed to just a PowerShell command line when we start doing our work with the API object. It makes our life a little bit easier. And this is just a path to the MP project that I've been working on. This is our health model folder, and there's the script that I just created. Okay, so I can run this, all queues stats ps1. We had this parameter called queues path, and we need to give that the path to our queues. And in my case, that's MP store queues. Okay, and so sure enough, there we get there. I have 40 files in there. And so that at least tests that little simple little start to our script. Add a little bit more now. So the next lines, I'm going to copy in a chunk of lines here. And what this is going to do is collect up, basically it's going to walk through all the files in the folder. And it's going to create this variable called size and oldest file. And we're going to go through and basically collect up the total size of all the files. And we're going to collect the oldest one. Okay, and you can look through the little bit of logic I've used here. You may have some much more elegant way to go about it than I did, which totally fine. Not doing anything OpsMan specific yet. But then I want to return this size and oldest file. Okay, and let's go ahead and test that. Cut that part out. Okay, so let's just run our script again. And sure enough, I get 40 files and total size in bytes. And then here, and you can tell that I actually have had this environment sitting around a little while because it's been 14,000 minutes since I created the first file in it. But this shows, okay, we're going out. I passed it the parameter that I wanted. I got the data back that I need. So now what we want to do is make our script specific to OpsMan. And let's actually put all this into a property bag. Okay, so let's actually remove these lines here, which are kind of just for testing. So what I'm going to do is paste in a couple of lines. Technically, we only need one of these, and that's this line here, which is every single script you write in ImaginePack is going to have that API object. And then I'm doing this log script event. And what that's going to do is just log an event to the event log when this runs. And it's just simple. It'll say which script ran and just the folder that got pointed to it. Now, right now, we're not going to worry too much about this. This will be interesting later on when we start working with Cookdown and we do some other scripts. And what we'll talk about, this script is perfectly fine. This is not a script that we'd be worrying about doing Cookdown on. But then we'll have other ones where we are, and so we want to be able to compare those. That's just kind of a little placeholder for later on. But it typically is good practice, and I'm sure I mentioned this in the discovery discussion when we did discovery scripts, is to add in fairly significant number of the log script events when you're doing interesting things in your script, but then typically turn those off except in a debug parameter or something like that that defaults to off. And so you only log those events if debug is turned on. And so then the user in the monitor or the rule that's running can do an override that to true should they be having any problems in their environment or certainly when you're doing debugging on your management pack. So you don't want to just go create an excessive number of events in the event log, but you want to give some option to create those events in kind of a debug test situation. In our case, it's just my test environment, test MP, so I'm going to go ahead and do that, okay? So the next line we want to do is create our property bag. And it's really as simple as that. In this case, we're just going to return one property bag. We're going to see some examples later on where we can return multiple property bags in a script. Starting off simple, it's just one property bag. And then we want to take those three values that we collected and add them to it. Okay, and so you can see here, you just use the add value, and we give it a name and then a value for it. Remember, we had count, oldest file, and size, and these are the names that I'm going to give to those. These names are important, and we're going to see later on when we put this into a workflow, the other modules that are going to work with this data are going to need to know because they're going to have to specify which of the particular values we're interested in. And they're going to do that by this name from the property bag that we've given here. Okay, so these are not just arbitrary strings that you give these. You want something that is actually going to mean something to the rest of the workflow. Now, technically, the next line I need is just bag all by itself, which takes this property bag and sends it to the output of the script. So this script would work completely fine in the management pack. This is what we want. But for testing on a command line, if you recall back, I'm sure we did this in the discovery scripts, it's not actually going to show us the data we want. Let me show that real quick. So if I run this here, all we see is this system com object. We're not actually seeing the property bank. And so PowerShell is just returning a com object, and it doesn't understand that we actually want to break that open and look at it. Okay? So for testing, and this is just a little trick that we do when we're testing on a command line, we want to kill that line so it doesn't run. We want to add in this API return. Now this actually is, if you're writing in VBScript, this is the way that we return the property bag in VBScript. It really doesn't have that concept of the different output streams like PowerShell does. So this is a line, you would have the VBScript equivalent of this line. But when we're doing PowerShell, this will actually return back the property bag to the command line for us so we can verify that our script is in fact working correctly. So now I see some XML coming back, right? It's not overly readable. And what I'm going to do, and I'm sure there's a way more efficient way to do this than what I'm doing, just being very quick and dirty, I'm going to copy this. Okay, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a new file. And again, I'm sure that people in the know probably are cringing because they have a way better way to do this than what I'm doing. But as I say, just very quick and dirty way that I'm converting this to XML. Then I'm going to copy that. Okay, then I'm going to do a new file, and I'm going to pick an XML file, and I'm going to paste that in. Okay? So now you can see, though, this actually is the contents of our property bag, and this is what the script is outputting that the rest of the workflow can pick up. Later on, when we create our modules and our monitors, we'll run a simulation in the MP simulator, and this is exactly what we're going to see when that particular module runs. Okay, so just to talk through this a bit, we're seeing this is the data type, is a property bag. Don't really care about the timestamp and the ID, that's built for us, nothing we ever need to be concerned about. But here you see my three values. You see the name file count, and there's the value there. And we also know what value type it is. Okay, so these will be critical to us later on. Now what's interesting, when you write a script, this is what you really want to get familiar with, is outputting the data, having a look at it, verifying that everything's working right, and you can do this through inspecting the property bag. When we start getting into the management pack itself, as I say, we'll use the MP simulator, and we'll be able to inspect this exact data whenever you're doing testing and troubleshooting. So at this point, I have a working script, okay? And so as I mentioned, what we'll do in the next lesson is to go back through some fairly advanced, I'll admit, some fairly advanced conceptual topics around the modules and workflows, and then we'll come back in two lessons and we'll revisit this script and actually put it into a management pack.